We've been going through the book of Romans, which starts off in chapter 1, verse 15, 16, 17, 16 to 17, with Paul saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. We are in chapter 12. We are in the therefore part of Romans. Leading up to chapter 11, he takes us on a journey to get to the mercy of God that's unfathomable. The mercy of God, and from him and to him and through him are all things. Therefore, child of God, and so into chapter 12. We are at the end of chapter 12. We are looking at some scriptures, 17 to 21, that addresses the dilemma that we all have of having opponents. Some of the opponents we might be married to. No names mentioned. They might be a brother or a sister in Christ, and they might be an actual enemy, diametrically opposed to the things of God. But in this, the Lord lays out directives for all of us, no matter who the opponent is, to whatever degree. Here's your posture. I'd like to walk through this after I read through it. Verse 17, never. What does the word never mean? Yeah. I'm short and this microphone's in my way. I can't visually see the people right here. Emily, I'm watching you. What does never mean? It isn't translated in any other way. It means that every time. By the way, for you to get in an altercation with somebody, you never do that, is probably a lie. Exaggeration at the least. Well, you always do that. That too is a lie. Exaggeration at the least. This means never. Never, never. Pay back evil for evil to anyone. Who is anyone?
Anyone.
Oh, but God, you understand that guy. To anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, which is literally take thought for how they see it. Take thought for it. Doesn't mean you're going to agree with it. Consider their perspective. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Oh, good, I get to hurt him, finally. Wait a minute. It's probably not what that means. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I've shared with this group, as long as we've been in chapter 12, that I go through this chapter in every pre-marriage counseling to prepare two people to be married. I think maybe that I've done ever. Some heads going like this. Because it's about relationships and how to be as a child of God. This section really is about justice. Justice seems to be the main focus, and we are admonished to rely on God's justice. I'm fairly certain that one of the reasons behind this is if we take justice in our own hands, it inevitably turns to injustice. Keep your hand here. Go back to Proverbs, please. Proverbs 16. By By the way, it is legal to use the table of contents in the front. That's why they put it there. Proverbs 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight. Huh. But the Lord weighs the motives. Chapter 21 of Proverbs. Verse 2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Slightly different wording, saying the same thing. If I'm going to go after justice, I am clean in my own eyes. You deserve it, and I know how to best dish it out. Clean. But God weighs the heart, God weighs the motive. Said, really? And Romans 12 gives us another avenue. So just wanted to insert those couple of wisdom insights. Justice is probably a tougher subject and concept than we think. Our own American justice system has grown so complicated with its legal loopholes that criminals often slide out from under justice for their crimes, while innocent ones are accused and condemned for criminal activity. It's upside down. Yet I don't know another justice system on the planet that I would want to be associated with. I've seen our justice system do right as well, in my humble opinion. Justice is hard. Be careful in judgment, however, about anybody in the justice system or trying to get... Be careful because we might be found guilty of the same. Even our little children, little guys, grasp for loopholes, trying to make good excuses to justify their action or shift the blame. Am I wrong in saying this? As adults, we just learn how to do it better. Whether personally or internationally, justice is a hard one. On a personal or international level, justice is often rendered according to anger. And if that's accurate, it turns out perverted. It can't help but that. And of course, this is my humble, unsolicited opinion. But God gives us a better way. And I believe, and I'm trying to make a case for it, so we take this seriously. We take this sincerely. It's wise to leave it in God's hands. It doesn't mean we don't confront. It doesn't mean we, you know, just let anything roll over the top of us. That's not where we're going. But it's up to God to come up with justice. This passage is telling us to trust God even in this circumstance that might be so painful and unjust. Trust God. This passage restricts us, forbidding us to use the same tools that our enemy might use, or the same motivation or intent. Returning evil for evil, verse 17 and 21. And it gives us the proper arsenal to draw from as disciples of Jesus. Just walk through these, won't take very long. Render good instead of evil, verse 17. That's a whole different arsenal, man. It might make you look really weird. You're not a man if you don't stand up. God says, render good instead of evil, verse 17. And consider their point of view. They might be wrong, but you might understand where they're coming from. You might not agree, But you know, it often helps when you're talking with somebody to ask them those questions that lead you to understand their perspective, at least. And then if you properly understand their perspective, then you can dialogue even about the difference. But the admonition, take thought for what is right in the sight of all men. Actions and attitudes that make for peace is what he calls us to do. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. They might not want to be at peace with you and might make it really, really difficult, but as much as is possible, go the extra miles, plural, for peace. The next one, let's word it this way. Stay out of God's arsenal of wrath and revenge. Verse 19. Never, there's our word again, take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Keep your hands off of those two things. That's God's business. And the cool thing is, he is not only able to wield those properly, but to the degree that they need to be wielded. It's not for you to touch the wrath and the vengeance. Leave that in God's. And then following Jesus' own words, bless your enemy by feeding them if they're hungry, and by giving them a drink if they're thirsty. On last Wednesday night, I think it was, we had one of the testimonies, I appreciated that, from somebody that had been being treated as an enemy by an individual and not able to get away from that. And they were stopped alongside the road with a hood up. And this person stopped. How can I help you? And it broke things. It melted down to where now they can have a relationship. That's what this is about. Bless them by doing good, by doing what is right in God's sight, following the example and character of Jesus. It may result in heaping burning coals on their head, but that is God's business, whatever that means. Go back to Proverbs again, please, chapter 24. We'll unfold this a little bit more, I hope. Proverbs 24, 17, 18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, and he may turn his anger away from him. That sounds like it's God at work. You're rejoicing because the guy's in pain. And God said, oh, really? You just got in the way. Get out of God's way while he disciplines. Otherwise, you might get some shrapnel yourself. Let God be God. Who is able to be God, who knows what is best to reach that person. Proverbs 25, while you're there. 21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you for doing what is right. This is where Paul quoted from. I've heard it explained several different ways that in the East, it was not uncommon for people to carry things in baskets on their head. Nomadic people have to carry their fire also. In survival training, I was taught how to do this. I can take the burning embers from the fire of the night before. There's a way to wrap them tightly in tinder that will burn, but so tight that it can't get oxygen, throw it in the back of your pack and walk all day. You come to the end of the day, open it up and blow on it, and there's your fire. It can be that. We have been able at times in camping, we want a fire soon. That campsite has a fire going. I wonder if I can trade them a piece of unburnt wood for a piece of burning wood. In this culture, they don't have the Bic lighters. If their fire goes out, it may be life and death. It is heat. It is light. It's a source of cooking. It's a source to be at to keep predators back. Fire was very important. You would be blessing with not only a single coal, with a heap of coals. That's one of the explanations. Another of the explanations, which seems obvious, is, man, they're going to feel so bad and so guilty when you do this good thing to them that they're just going to burn inside and that you come humbly to you and break. And they might. And that might happen. But please understand, in both of these passages, it should not be my motivation to burn them on the head. I want to hurt them. I want to make them feel so guilty. Wait a minute. Are they hungry? Give them a sandwich. Are they thirsty? Give them a drink. The burning coal part, that's God's arsenal. Let God use that, whether it is burning their conscience or blessing to them in this other way. There's a number of things in our Bible that you have to crawl into the culture from then to grasp what's going on. It's not part of our culture. This may be one of those. End of the line is this. It's God's business. If he's your enemy and he's hungry, feed him. Leave it up to God. God will bless you for doing what is right for them. What is their need? Can you bless them? Is God having you bless them? You know, think of these Gideons that were on the video there, that were spat on with a smile that continued on their work. Wow. And then they came back around. That conscience, heart and mind saying, they have something I need. Wow, that's what's going on here. Bless them by doing what is right in God's sight, following the example and character of Jesus. And then verse 21 is the last posture. Do not be overcome by evil by leaving it in God's hands. It is at least implied here that being overcome by evil is swaying to the side of evil in your reaction against this person. In responding wrong, reacting wrong, you are being overcome by evil. Rather, overcome evil by good. That's our position. I stop and I say, God, I really need your help with this. This is not natural. This doesn't come easy. Help me. In this circumstance, under this roof, or in this setting, whatever it might be, God, how can I live out that character of Jesus who lives in me now so that good might overcome the evil? I'm going to pause right there. Let's open it up for dialogue. Anybody have a comment or a question they'd like to put out on the floor? So I'm assuming you guys have this all down, right? Yeah. Doing good with this?
Making notes, but I got to take care of.
You know, not defending yourself when you're accused wrongfully is one of the hardest things on the planet. And it took me many years to know God knows about it. He knows the truth. I don't have to defend myself. So it's not really revenge. But it's nonetheless trusting God to deal with it all. And it's helped in so many ways.
Yeah, Peter addresses, in I think it's 1 Peter 2 and 3, using Jesus as the example, who was silent before its shears, before his shears, according to the prophecy of Isaiah 53. And you've been called to follow that same example. Yeah, there are times to be silent. And there are times to speak out. No question about that. We're not getting away from that. But the general posture, to be like Jesus, is for the purpose of furthering ministry. That this person might be able to come to faith in Jesus. Millie?
Mm-hmm. Years ago, we had a neighbor that was a complete bully. And at one point, he actually, and Kim was standing in our driveway, and he ran into him with his van and was yelling, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you." There was nothing we could do about the situation. Ken had a nephew that was a pastor, and I was sharing all of this with him, and he says, "God is a God of justice, and he will take care of it." Eventually, it cost this man his life. God took care of it.
Without you intervening. Yeah. And I know we can come up with a lot of stories like, God is going to be true to his word and to his purpose. His purpose in you, shine the light, overcome the evil with the good. That's the purpose. Reality is, all of us have got opponents. If you don't now, you will tomorrow. It's happening. How is it that you're supposed to be? Go ahead.
In the Bible, the Psalms say, "Lord, how I hate those who hate you with perfect hatred. I hate them." And then there are precatory Psalms. And so in our own minds, we have to be clear that there are personal enemies where we turn the other cheek. And we bless them and we give them a blessed life. But for those who make themselves enemies of God, we hate them with a perfect hatred.
And I would look at those imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory, sorry. I'll get it. Give me a moment. David as the line of the Messiah. If David is destroyed, Messiah is destroyed. That has to enter into that. One of the psalms is beautiful. I appreciate you bringing it out. I do. One of the psalms, we didn't read it this morning. There's another place, but Lord, put a guard over my mouth when I'm in the presence of my enemies. There's a place to be. When the guy came out cursing David, "I'm going to go and kill him, David." What did David say? God might have sent him to curse. Don't kill him. Okay, there is the, we can go deeper into this general topic. Lord, help me to do what Romans 12, 17 to 21 is telling me to do. By his grace, I can do it. There is a whole other side when Jesus told his disciples, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat and get one. There's a whole other side that we're not touching on right now. So, another angle. Anybody else? Okay, Cliff.
Sorry, couldn't keep my hand down. But it's the old principle of if you're pointing one finger at somebody, you have three pointing back at yourself. And that's how it always seems when we try to mete out justice, is the justice we have coming finds it back. We all need mercy.
Matthew 7, first few verses. "Judge not, lest you be judged. From the same manner you judge, you will be judged." This is how it is. Okay, now I don't think it's an accident that these verses are just before Romans 13. You know what Romans 13 is about? Government. That God has established that seems to be always corrupt. Wow. How does that work? Stay tuned. Next week, we'll have the Blakers. After that, we'll jump into. Get baptized into Romans 13. Let's see if we can. By the way, that's to you, so you can read it. Then we'll come back together. I've got a song that when I ran across it preparing music. Oh, yeah. Because it puts things in its place. It's a perspective of the many that come to the Lord from various angles, princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at that throne of grace. I think it's a good response song.